their secret mountain lair somewhere in Colorado. This is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast with your hosts, Jason Odell and Rick Walker. Hey everyone, I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
And this is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. Big shout out to all our listeners. What's on tap for today's episode,
Rick? Well, today we're going to be talking about the glorious subject of camera bags.
Oh my.
Which are a fine way to torture yourself.
Right.
My opinion.
Yeah, because we'll start off with the first thing. If there was one perfect camera bag, we'd already have it by now.
And we don't.
And we don't. It's terrible. It's not terrible, but it's a secret fetish of every photographer that you've got a closet full of bags more than you'd like to admit.
Yeah, because for whatever reason, that next thing that you're going to do is your current bags are all wrong.
Right. So let's talk about
some of
these.
It just always turns out that
way. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to approach bags. I mean, there's you know, obviously the different kinds of bags, but... But let's talk a little bit about, you know, the sort of the concept of what you're trying. You know, you have to go into this with what am I trying to do? There's, you know, the functional purpose, and you know, at a core level, you know, your bag is always there. And so, but there's really two ways to think about holding all your stuff, right? There's the I need to get my stuff from point A to point B where I'm going. And then there's the more functional of I need the bag that I'm bringing to my shoot that I'm working out of.
Yeah. And then some people even have a third category, which is bags that they only use at home to store things.
Right. And I've done that too.
Yeah.
So, you know, the idea of a transport bag versus a working out of bag, you know, sometimes they're the same one. Sometimes they have to be the same one because out of necessity. We'll talk about bags that work for travel because, you know, if you're going to go on a plane, you have a different consideration, you know. So let's just talk a little bit about, you know, the different styles of bags and you know, what they're good for and how we use them, I guess, would be the best way to go, don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think most people... Most bags kind of break down, and if there's shoulder bags, then there's backpacks. That's probably the first distinction early, you know, back in the day, they were mostly just shoulder bags. Photo backpacks didn't really become a thing until a little later.
Yeah, you had to make your own.
Yeah.
I tried that. It didn't work so well.
No. And
that was a long time ago.
Right. And you know, you get into these discussions about, you know, there's bags that work great to protect, you know, all the padded dividers and inserts, and that's great. But then, you know, that's good for hiking, but they're not necessarily great to work out of. They're not necessarily great to put on an airplane. You know, what do you do? So, you know, so let's just talk about sort of strengths and weaknesses of the different styles of bags that are out there. And we'll start with shoulder bags.
Okay.
I think they're the fundamental you know, the classic camera bag, whether it's Domke bag or what, you know, those are some of the Billingham, the classic ones. They're really good for working out of. They're so easy to access your equipment. That's the first thing. And they're generally pretty easy to pack because they tend to be fairly rectangular. They don't have a lot of protruding straps or, you know, they just have the one shoulder strap. And, you know, they're just very nice to use, like if you're in a car, you know, on a safari and a Jeep or something, and you just need to reach into your bag and get something out of it.
Yeah.
Walking around gets a little more interesting because what happens is if you've got a big shoulder bag, they can really become a boat anchor for a while.
Yeah. I personally think that's just something you want to stay away from. If you're going to put a lot of equipment in something, you're going to have something that you carry on your back or do something else. It just... You're going to make yourself miserable.
Right. Either that or it's because you're just driving everywhere and you can just put it in a big, you know, one of those big, because you know, they make some monster shoulder bags that I don't know how anyone would want to walk around with them.
I think they're transport bags or
right. The
at-home bag I was talking about.
It just keeps your stuff organized. So, you know, but they are good. I mean, they've got pockets, they got dividers, you can customize them, they fit a lot of stuff in, and super accessible because you just open the top flap and there's all your stuff.
Yeah.
So I like those. But I don't usually use, I have a couple shoulder bags, and we'll talk about some that we use later, but I find that they, that I use them in a different kind of capacity than what you might think. You know, I use them when I'm traveling in a different kind of way.
Yeah. I would say for me, my default bag, and unless I'm going out on a landscape shoot, it's going to be a shoulder bag, messenger bag style. I love using those.
Cool. Just not a gigantic one.
No.
Right.
No.
So you're talking about a situation where you've got your cameras probably out and you have a lens on it, and then you've got maybe one or two more lenses and some filters in your bag, and it's mm-hmm. totally easy to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that. That's a good thing. Now backpacks, you know, there's a million of those out there too.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of them.
Yep.
Probably the first bag I ever, the first serious bag that I ever got. Well, the first, I remember my first camera bag, it was like a holster bag.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Tamrac holster bag.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have it anymore. It fit my camera with a lens attached. I used that in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But then the first real bag I got was like a low pro Trekker something backpack.
That was my first backpack too.
You know, and
I think it was a mini Trekker or a nature Trekker.
A nature Trekker. That thing, yeah. That sounds familiar, like the one I had. Now, those are really great for carrying your gear. I mean, because, you know, depending on the, so there's some that are designed as backpacks, like hiking backpacks,
mm-hmm.
you know, with adjustable shoulder strap heights and thick padded waist belts. And tons of protection from impact by, you know, the padded dividers,
mm-hmm.
they can be a little bit more challenging to work out of though.
Yeah. And they're heavy.
They get heavy.
In a lot of cases,
yeah,
too.
That's true. And one thing I discovered was trying to put the nature Trekker in the overhead bin of the plane. And I had all these padding straps, things that flopping.
Thick waist belt.
Yeah. It kind of got a little bit cumbersome.
Yeah.
But they are good for hiking. I mean, they are good if you're trying to, you know, hike around with stuff. What I find, though, and this is the dilemma, is that if you're really hiking, you probably don't want to carry all that much camera stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's heavy. And you have to have room for your other gear, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's been other backpacks that we've used, which were a little bit designed a little bit differently. Thinner waist belts or removable even,
yeah,
and more rectangular designs. And some of these were noticeable when Think Tank first came on the market. They were more rectangular designed to go fit in overhead bins or under the seat of an aircraft.
They weren't really for hiking.
No, they weren't. They weren't. You could certainly
walk hike through an airport.
Yeah. And they were good for that. But you know, the funny thing about backpacks comes back to that, how are you working out of them,
mm-hmm.
equation, right? And with a backpack, you have to generally take it off if you want to get something out of it. So you got to take off the backpack, you got to put it down. Now you're sticking your bag on muddy surface. Maybe you're on a beach, you know,
mm-hmm.
get sand in your bag. It's kind of a pain.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, we've both been using backpacks that have a feature where they open from the back, the side that, you know, the back of the bag, the strap side.
Mm-hmm. The part that hits your back when you're wearing
Correct.
It.
Correct, right. So if we were talking about the front of the bag being, you know, the exposed part when you're wearing it, and the back being the part that touches your back, and those have some pretty interesting advantages.
Yeah, I like them a lot. You know, you could say they don't hold quite as much equipment. That's okay. The important thing is that when you want to access your equipment, you can just set them down. You're not putting your straps in the mud or wet sand. You're putting a part of the bag that you're not going to touch into that stuff. And then you can get to your equipment and put it back on, and you're not now instantly muddy and stuff. So I find that to be a really significant advantage.
The other thing about it too is it's somewhat more secure,
mm-hmm.
when you're wearing it, because the outside, the part that someone can get into, it's going to not have your camera gear.
No, it's going to at best have a few little accessories.
Yeah. I mean, I can stick my iPad in
or one, reflector,
but yeah, or you use it for a jacket or mm-hmm. something. I certainly did that a lot recently, where the front part of the bag is you know, extras, a jacket, a snack, granola bar or something.
Right.
And I like the backpacks that have the side pockets, you know, the like where you could put a water bottle
mm-hmm.
Or something. Not necessarily a water bottle, although that's great. But like I'll use those side pockets, and some of them have those elastic drawstrings to close them. I love those because that's where I'll put, say, a rain cover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that I need to just grab and access right away. Or a snack, or a water bottle, or, you know, in some cases you could put a memory card wallet in there as long as it's not going to fall out.
Mm-hmm.
But those side pockets are, you know, where they then collapse down. You can take stuff out of them when you're transporting stuff around if you need to pack it. That's really nice.
Yeah.
Now, on those, in some cases, those back-opening backpacks, like we use ones from Mindshift. We talked about those in an earlier episode. Mindshift is part of Think Tank Photo, and we've loved their bags.
They're great.
Yeah, they really are well-made. In those bags, you can actually loosen up the waistband, take off the while still wearing it, and rotate it around. And access it while wearing it. It's a little bit cumbersome in practice, but it's doable.
And if you're on a beach and there's water coming mm-hmm. in and you want to switch lenses, it's wonderful to be able to pull that
off. Yeah, exactly. It's not, you know, it takes a little practice, but it's really nice to have a backpack that you can access without taking it off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where those rear opening backpacks come in.
Yeah. One thing I will say is, you know, they also make a series of bags at rear opening. And they've got a, you know, little gizmo that's like a waist belt that will separate from the main part of the bag, and you can rotate it around to the front.
Yes, I have one of those.
Do you like it?
Well, I don't use it a lot. When I've used it, it's been for particular reasons. It's a little bit awkward to work mm-hmm. out of. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, what I did like about it is that the whole top part was a day pack.
Right.
So when I was walking around Ireland a few years ago, that's what I had. And I could just toss like my infrared camera and a jacket and some stuff into the top half and then just have lenses in the bottom half. Usually my camera was already out at that point.
Yeah.
It got a little bit cumbersome. It got a little bit big. It wouldn't be my first choice of a bag.
Nor mine.
But yeah, they have those. I would say the next evolution is one that, now I haven't really looked into these, but from the, I want to walk around and still work out of my bag, but have it on my back, is the sling bag concept.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you've used a little bit, right?
Yeah. The ones I like are the Peak Design ones, and they've got a couple sizes, the 10 liter and the 5 liter. And they're really nice. It's the thing I like about them is, like I said, I like shoulder bags / messenger bags, and they're a close cousin to those. So they can be very quick to shoot out of. When you're ready to start walking, you can tighten up the strap and it just kind of goes right up on your back fairly high, gets out of the way. It's not bobbing around. Very, very handy. Those are good bags.
Now, the thing about those, they're just not that big.
No.
And they only have the single strap, right? So that you're not getting... There's not like a backpack where you have two shoulder straps.
Right, but you don't really need it.
Right, it's designed to rotate around.
And it gets snug, so you don't really need to.
So that would be good mostly for the smaller systems, or if you're just carrying around a camera and, you know, maybe one extra lens or two extra lenses mm-hmm. and a few things. Again,
as long as they're not too long of lenses.
Yeah, it's like, these would fall into the category of working bags.
Yeah.
You know, you're walking around, I got to shoot from something where you're not in a vehicle or you're moving around a lot.
Yeah. The one thing I would say is if you're interested in one of those bags, make sure you try one on and put some equipment into it. Because one of the things I've found, and it's true with the current Mindshift sling bags, they are really uncomfortable. The way the strap is designed, it's got buckles in the... Or sliders in all the wrong places.
Ouch.
And it's, ouch.
Okay.
Not fun. Strange.
Good to know, but you know, that's why we have choices out
there. We do, fortunately.
If there was, like, again, if there was one perfect bag, we'd already have it by now.
Yeah.
Then you can get into some of the other bags, you know, and one, you know, really great category where we're talking about a transport bag is the roller,
mm-hmm.
the roller bag. Now, these are super great in airports. First of all, they're designed as luggage.
Right.
You know, so they're going to, many of these rollers are designed to effectively be carry-on size already. And they'll come in different flavors. Some over the, you know, the U.S. has slightly different carry-on, you know, domestic airlines. U.S. domestic airlines have slightly larger carry-on allowances than non-U.S. airlines. Mm-hmm. But you can get them in both forms. They hold a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
And if you're transport, and I love them for when I had to transport, say, a long lens. Like schlepping a 200 to 400 or a 500, you know, that gets heavy in the airport.
Yeah. The thing that you have to watch out for, and it's particularly true in some locales where there are pretty aggressive weight limits.
Mm-hmm.
You have to watch those. It's not just a size thing. It's also a weight limit thing. And the bag can take up half of your weight limit
right
there.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not lightweight things.
Right. For example, I'm going to be going to Alaska in November for bald eagle photography, and I have to take a little float plane.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 50-pound allotment, and you know, if 10 of that is your bag,
mm-hmm.
you know, already you can think about how that can add up very
right.
quickly.
Right.
Now, those roller bags, though, they do serve an excellent purpose, and these can come in hard-sided, soft-sided, you know, ones that are look like luggage. Small ones, big ones, whatever. They're really good. I think what you have to be careful of is that, you know, if you are carrying them on a plane, which is really their best use, you want to make sure they fit in the overhead compartment.
Right.
Otherwise, you might find yourself having to gate check it. Now, I know that the ones from Think Tank include TSA compatible combination locks built into them, which is a feature that I like a lot. Now, where the roller bags really start to not work for you is that you don't want to have that as you're working out of bag unless you are shooting from a relatively stationary fixed location. Examples might be, you know, you're in a car, so you're going to just be shooting out of a car. Maybe you're on a safari or something like that. You shoot out of that bag, kind of like you would with a shoulder bag. Maybe you're on the sidelines of a sporting event. You can imagine that. You get to where you're going to be, and then you're pretty much there. These bags aren't very good in urban environments.
God, no.
And for a lot of reasons. First of all, you don't want to be dragging this. You know, imagine walking the streets of Paris with luggage. I mean, it's not great.
I've seen people do it.
Oh, yeah. And it's not something, it's something that you do when you have to do, but you don't want to make it a habit, right?
Right.
The other thing is, you know, if you're walking around dragging one of these behind you, you know, you got to put it down, unzip it, bend over, get out. They're just really awkward. So they're really great transport bags, not so much working bags,
mm-hmm.
other than some, you know. So if you're, you know, if you're thinking about that, that's again where you get into this context of maybe I need to pack a bag that I can work out of. And then have a bag that I transport my stuff.
Yep.
And that's where the little small shoulder bags come in handy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something that I think we both do is we have a small bag. We recently got these Billingham bags. Little things. On the plane, I used it. I took out the dividers and just used it as my personal item. iPad, you know, any, you know, medications or you know, just stuff that you'd carry on that you need to access. It fits under the seat of the plane, you know, seat in front of you, no problem. It's easy. When I got to where I was going, I put the dividers back in, put in the lenses, you know, two lenses that I wanted to use, and the other bag was just for storage.
Yeah.
So that can work either with a roller bag or even a backpack or whatever. So that combo. And in some cases, I've seen people pack their backpack. In fact, I've even done this.
Mm-hmm.
Squeezed one backpack into the roller bag.
Right.
So I could roll it through the airport. And then when I got to where I was going, the roller bags just stayed empty in my hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I used the backpack to shoot out of.
Right. Now, you were talking about shoulder bags. Like I said earlier, I really like them, especially for doing travel. And I've been using the Billingham bags for decades. They hold up, you know, really, really well. They're not cheap, you know, I'll admit that. But it's amazing how they hold up, and they're very waterproof.
I will vouch for that. We were in the rain in Scotland, and I watched the water just bead right off
of that. Yeah, they're great. They're designed very smartly for bad weather.
And the cover just goes over. There's no chance that the flap, the top flap, is really designed to keep the elements out.
Yeah. With some of the other ones that are good bags, like I think the Think Tank retrospective bags
are good.
But you have to pull out a rain cover and put it over it. And
yeah, they're semi-waterproof, but yes, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah,
yeah. The Think Tank retrospective series is good. The fabric is a little bit, it's more of a Cordura nylon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're water resistant, but they're not waterproof.
Yeah. And if I'm not worrying about rain, I like the Domke bags.
Yeah, those are nice.
Yeah. They're very quick to shoot out of. Just not. I've used one in a downpour and it was fine, but I also got a little bit lucky too. So
I think with the shoulder bags for me is the challenge is that they're great for smaller cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you want to have a camera with a lens attached. When you start putting the bigger pro DSLRs, you start running out of space for your stuff unless you've got a bigger shoulder bag. Mm-hmm. And then you're in that problem, right?
Right.
You know, so the shoulder bags are great if you're carrying your camera and then the bag is not meant for your camera, really. So one example, you know, like I said, I was just traveling. Camera was around my neck with a lens attached. In the shoulder bag, I had a 70-200 f4,
mm-hmm.
and a little 14-30 f4.
Mm-hmm.
And then the center compartment, I had my Fuji infrared camera with a lens attached to it. And those all fit in fine. And then the pockets, I had some filters, and it wasn't too heavy, and I could just reach into it, grab a lens if I needed to change the lens. And the other thing, and I should point this out, there's a lot of places these days when you're traveling that don't allow backpacks.
Right.
I mean, museums will tell you to take your backpack off or wear it around the front. It's really awkward, but they don't seem to care about shoulder bags.
Right.
It's more like a purse.
Not as much, yeah.
It's a satchel.
Right, right.
So there are times when having a shoulder bag allows you to shoot in places that you couldn't get in. I know some of my clients had to leave their backpacks behind when we wanted to do some of the castles in Scotland.
Yeah.
And that means you have to think differently. It was no big deal. I mean,
yeah.
Most of that was one lens shooting, but
other little preferences I have with shoulder bags is I don't like a lot of padding. I don't think it's necessary.
True.
And it just makes the thing heavier and usually a little bit slower to shoot out of. So I like bags that are a little bit lighter on the padding. And, you know, like I was mentioning, the Billingham Hadley bags in particular, the Hadley Pro and the Hadley Small, those are great in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
Just enough padding. The Domkeys are pretty light on padding, but they work fine for me.
The padding is more the dividers.
What I try to stay away from are the ones that are very, very rectangular. You know, the depth is substantial. Those to me just get awkward as heck if I'm out walking around a lot. I want something that's a little bit thinner and, you know, stays a little bit closer to my body.
And that's from a security standpoint as well, as just bumping into people.
Yeah.
You know, just have it close to the vest.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, segue. You can consider, we're talking about bags, but vests are also good. Now, vests are, you know, you can get these things that are crazy. And I've seen some that are just insane. But just a basic photo vest, they don't have to be an expensive
mm-hmm.
one. Allows you to carry memory cards, a couple lenses, you know, one or two lenses, and you just walk around with that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other nice thing about a vest is that they pair well with a shoulder messenger bag.
Mm-hmm.
A backpack isn't going to work so well with a vest because you just covered up all your pockets.
Right.
So when you're traveling around, sometimes it's just having a photo vest. And the nice thing about the vest, too, is that it's one way I know people get around weight requirements,
True.
You know, but you can pack that in your luggage. And then when you get to where you go, so that's a very packable solution for traveling if you want to go with the transport bag plus shooting concept. So those all work. So we mentioned some of our favorite bags. We're in a world where it's a little bit harder to find a camera store that carries bags to try.
Yeah.
I know that we have some local shops here that do carry some of the Think Tank bags. But a lot of times what you'll find is you'll get just sort of, I don't want to say cheap, but you'll get kind of like lower end stuff.
That's, or a store brand of some sort.
Yeah, just kind of generic things. So, if you're going to buy a bag and try it out, get it from somebody who's got a good return policy. So if it doesn't work out for you, it works. We do like we mentioned Think Tank / Mindshift, Billingham. I've had some good bags from, in the past, Tamrac and Low Pro make good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Domke for shoulder bags, as well as the Billingham bags.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned the Peak Design sling bags.
Yeah.
That's good.
They're all good. It just depends on your preferences and how much you're going to want to take. And I've got another little preference, which is I like to be able to put a body with a lens on it into the bag,
right,
and not have to remove the lens from the body before I can put stuff in there. So I like to be able to do that, just because for periods of time where I'm not shooting, I don't want to have the camera out. I like to stick it in there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's a good...
And not spend a lot of time getting it assembled.
Yeah, I don't always do that, but it's nicer when you can. I mean, sometimes what you find is you have to pack it for transport one way, and then you reconfigure the bag when you get there for using it.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes with your advice from a previous episode where you talk about leaving yourself a little room.
Yep.
That happens. And sometimes you achieve that room by leaving things behind in the hotel safe or wherever. You don't have to walk around. Plus, it's more stuff to lug around when you're carrying. So, in other words, as you can see, we like a lot of bags. There's no one bag. If we ever find a perfect bag, or if you have a perfect bag that we forgot to mention, something that you like, hey, we have a Facebook page where you can leave us comments.
Yeah, but we'd also be willing to bet that 6 months from now you'll decide it's not perfect.
There you go. Well, if you want to leave your comments about how what your favorite bag is or what we left out, you want to shout at us, do so at facebook.com/imagedoctors. That's where you'll find everything. We appreciate all of your feedback. We appreciate those of you who've chipped into our bandwidth fund. We really thank you. And until next time, happy shooting.